Yeah, thank you. So my name's Deanna, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive eater. So I'll share, what life was like, what happened, and life now. Yeah, so I remember, boy, I remember food just taking me out of myself when I was very young. And I remember having these big feelings going on about big things like divorce and moving and changing schools and parents fighting, divorce, my sibling not being there and then there. It's just a lot of chaos, and I didn't feel like I had a lot of control over what was going on, being like age 5, 6, 7. And food just filled in the blank for me on so many things. It felt like an anchor. It felt like something I could control. I certainly enjoyed it. And it became my buddy. It helped me numb out. I didn't like reality a lot of the time. And boy, food just filled that void for me. And I would start to use food and television to kind of escape out of reality and just blot out things. So anyways, I didn't think it was a problem. Hey, it worked for me. I enjoyed it, okay? But when I started to put on weight at a young age, and I got teased and bullied, of course, I didn't like that. So as most kids, you want to fit in. I went on my first diet at a very young age. And lost a lot of weight. And the thing about me is that I could gain and lose quite a bit of weight, and people would really notice. And at first, I liked it in the beginning because you'd get pats on the back, but then as you go through life and people are noticing, it's like I would just like rather them not notice, because it's like, yeah, I've lost weight once again, or yeah, I put it back on. So anyways, I didn't think anything of the fact that I lost weight at age 12, and I remember a lunch lady telling me, hey, be careful. And I really didn't know what she meant by that because I didn't think I was doing anything crazy. I was like, well, I'm portioning, I'm eating less, whatever. But my weight would continue to go up and down throughout my life. It was always a moving target. I'd have different size clothing in the clo in my closet, and it was just very frustrating to me. I just hated that. I really didn't hate that. I just wanted to maintain, but I could never do that. So I became very fixated on my physical appearance. I have to look normal or look thin. The lie that my mind would tell me is when I get to a certain size or weight or look a certain way, then life is going to be better. And that's what I was always chasing my entire life. And I would, and if people didn't want to be with me, like let's say a romantic partner, I would just assume it was based on weight. And that's not, that's not a normal person's thinking, I mean, yes, for some people that can be a piece of it, but that's just where my mind would go, even though I had no evidence to suggest that. My weight would go up and down and up and down and up and down. And in when I was in my 20s, I became morbidly obese. I remember feeling very ashamed about that because I was working in healthcare, and it's healthcare. You want to model health. Why can't I do what I know how to do? I know how to do this stuff. And that's how it is with a lot of us compulsive eaters, is we're such good learners and studiers, and we seek out the gurus and the experts. And at least I did. I went to weight loss doctors and nutritionists and personal trainers and even energy healers. I'm like, if I can't tackle this and get this solved through therapy, maybe there's something, from a past life or, my energetic self. I was going to try anything I could. And I did. I pretty much tried everything. The only thing I didn't try was weight loss surgery. And trust me, I wanted to do it a couple times, but I would get this nudge that's like, hey, they'd have to bypass your brain, because you are already overriding your physical cues for hunger. You eat till you're sickly full, you binge, you there's times where you eat just to eat. There's times where you say you wish you were hungry so you could eat. So what the heck is surgery going to do for you? You're going to override that. And that's the only reason I didn't, but many times I thought about it. So I started to see a therapist for eating disorders in my 20s, and they did, and my history with the eating, like my behaviors, was it's mostly been binge eating. Although I've been known to, compensate through, well, I'm going to juice, do really healthy eating the next day, or juicing, or this, that, and the other. But it would be mostly binging, and then at times compulsive exercising. And the exercising I would do would be, it would start off real innocent, like, once a day, whatever, and then it wasn't good enough. No, I need to do it twice a day, and I need to do more. So just like the eating, the exercise was that way too. And I loved the effects of the exercise when I got into the rhythm of it. Now, I will be quite honest with you, most of my life, if you looked at it, I've been a couch potato. I put a lot of miles on a couch, or on a chair. But when I get in these periods of exercise, I really, really like it, and I take it to extremes. So much so that I stopped having a menstrual cycle, meaning I threw off my hormones because I was putting my body under such stress for hours and hours of weightlifting and cardio and exercise, just all this kind of stuff. My mind can't tell the truth from the false. My mind can't be trusted in terms of deciding what's healthy exercise for me. I gave myself an abdominal hernia without realizing it. I found out by accident later when I went from lying to sitting. And all of a sudden I felt this thing tear through it, my inside of my stomach. And I'm like, I just had the reflex to push it back in, this bulge that was coming. And I'm just like, what in the heck? And then right away it was like, I must have pushed myself at the gym, not realizing it. So, and I got real selfish, and trying to really focus on this physical and be fixated on it. I was just so selfish. No, I can't go here because I've got to work out. Or I remember eating, but being invited to somebody's house for dinner, and I really didn't want what they had, so I just ate before I went, and I really didn't eat what they. It was just selfish, very selfish. But as I mentioned, I tried so many things to get free from this, so many things, and then finally a therapist is like, "Why don't you check out OA?" And I came into OA originally about 11 years ago. So grateful for this fellowship and to hear that, hey, there's other people like me that use food the way I do. And I didn't feel so alone. I didn't feel like I was this enigma. And so I did the things that people suggested. I asked someone to sponsor me, and she was going to take me through the steps. And then also I suggested that I try to avoid what I thought were my problem foods. And at the time, those foods were sweets, but also junk food if it was fatty, rich, and delicious. I was all about it. So I found that I could not stick to the food plan for good and all. I could do something for a while, but I couldn't do it for good and all. Much like Weight Watchers that I tried in the past. The step work. So my sponsor had me kind of go to step study meetings. So I was really kind of studying about the steps more so than doing them. And I think she had me working out of a workbook. And I remember not getting through all the steps, and I don't recall me saying I'm not going to do them or not. I think somewhere it fell off. So I didn't get recovered. I'm wondering why, because I'm like, it's not like I was refusing to do anything. Why aren't I recovered? And just going to meetings for several years and doing my own thing and dieting. I'm like, okay, well, I felt really, pitiful. And then eventually I got connected in with some phone meetings that people use the Big Book. And so I listened, and I liked what I heard. I asked this gal to sponsor me, and she helped me through her line of questioning understand, for me anyways, what my real problem was. Because if I don't understand my problem, I can't apply the right solution. So my problem, I told her, well, I told her, I said, listen, I'm confused. I said, I know how to eat, but I can't do it for good and all. I come to OA, I try to follow this food plan thing. I can't do it for good and all. What's wrong with me? And she said that food plans didn't work for her either. That, you know, she found that when she put down what she thought were her problem foods, she'd pick up other foods. And I thought, that's interesting. And so I had to really think about it. And while 9 times out of 10, I'm going to pick something sweet or something fatty, rich, and delicious over something else, I have, when I've like restricted those things, like I'm not going to eat those, I've compulsively eaten vegetables. I've compulsively eaten protein. So she helped me through a line of questioning, get what's the common denominator here? Is it the substance or ingredient food, or is it the behavior? And I'm like, what's the behavior? I'm compulsively eating. I'm trying to get ease and comfort. Yeah. So you may have your preferred and your favorites, as most of us do, but are those things making you compulsively eat, or is there something that comes before that? And I'm like, well, it makes sense that there would be something that comes before that because I've eaten vegetables and protein that way. So anyways, it was a light bulb moment for me that my problem is the behavior of compulsive eating, and that something within me seeks this comfort and ease, meaning I don't deal well with life on life's terms. That's what causes me to seek out food. And yes, I'm going to pick the most selfish choice, but the choices, the substances and ingredients aren't my problem. My problem comes way before that. It's what's within me that's out of sorts here. So I realized, boy, I'm not going to spend one more second trying to control and manage the food, substances, or ingredients, because in my case, it caused me to obsess more. And it caused me to think that I had control and power over choice of what to eat. I don't have choice over what I'm going to eat on my own power. I don't. How do I know that? I've tried my entire life. And believe me, I know how to eat. You know, it's part of my profession, and you know, become a great student, as many of us do. So I can't do it. I don't have that kind of power. So what she suggested is all she had to do was put forth effort to work the 12 steps, and then her eating got corrected. She doesn't have to avoid any foods or only eat certain foods. And boy, that was very attractive to me because something in me always bucked, you know, didn't like the idea of never of saying I can never eat this food again. It, something to me just seemed off about that. So I thought, well, this is very interesting. And I just, it was so profound for me to come to that realization because I felt like I was a dog chasing its tail going nowhere. Like, oh, I can't eat this. I can only eat this. And it's like, for me, in my case, that's just noise. That doesn't help me. That actually hinders me. I just need to work the precise instructions, the steps, and work it like my life depends on it, quite frankly. Not work it at my own leisure, like I tried to do before. Not work it at my own pace that feels comfortable for me. Nope. Because really, I look at it this way. I have an, well, and I do, I have an illness. It's chronic compulsive eating. I have a mind that wants to take me out, and it's going to tell me whatever sweet lie I need to hear to make food be the answer. Meaning, even to this day, as recovered, there are times where my mind will tell me when I'm tired, you should lay down. Okay, then I lay down. You need a snack. Well, I don't need it. I don't need both. I either need to sleep or nap, or I need to eat. You see what I'm saying? Or if I'm not feeling good, or it could be, you know, just whatever. Maybe I have a food thought, odd food thought come in, and I'm like, why am I thinking that way? So I have a mind that's always on the sidelines there waiting to pounce. So I've got to be vigilant to work this program, but I'm kind of jumping ahead here. So anyways, the sponsor was like, you know, if you want me to sponsor you, you know, you're going to have to work the steps quickly. And I'd never heard that before. I had heard people, you know, working it kind of, it was rather slow. And that intrigued me too. And she's like, you know, we work the steps quickly because it says in the big book that we only have a week to a month before our mind is going to lie to us and tell us we don't need this thing or we got it, we can do it on our own. And so I did. I worked the steps quickly, got recovered. Then, you know, I started sponsoring, and a sponsor helps, you know, you do that. And so I did. I got free and neutral around the food. And I was amazed. Absolutely amazed. I didn't think that would ever be possible. Now, my story includes where I've left program a few times after getting recovered. You know, my higher power kind of whispered in my ear, kept nudging, 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 and I talked it over with my sponsor each time. These are two different ones. And they're like, well, then you need to leave. You know, you're getting the nudge for a reason. And I did. I needed to have some experiences. And so I'm here. Obviously, I'm chronic.
5-minute
But
gentle reminder.
thank you. But I've learned what I need to do to stay recovered. And in my journey, I've tried to do the easier, softer way, sometimes knowing it, sometimes not. So what I've learned really that I have to do to stay well is I have to, yes, work steps 10, 11, and 12 every day, like my life depends on it, because that's essentially my medicine. I have an illness. It's not as if it's a one and done, get through the steps, oh, sit down, take a break, and trust me, I love one and dones. No, I got to work this program like my life depends on it. So step 10 is anytime I'm disturbed, I pause, I connect with my higher power, I ask him to remove whatever's going on. It could be fear, could be maybe I'm ruminating about someone or something, or and then I confess my defects to my sponsor through text usually. And you learn what those defects are as you work through the steps. And then I go help someone. I ask God, who would you have me help? I try to help another chronic compulsive eater if I can. And if not, then I try to help somebody else. But that really breaks the cycle. That breaks the cycle of me turning towards my own self-will and eventually into the food. So I do that, and then step 11 is conscious contact with my higher power. That is a relationship that I have to nurture, my relationship with my higher power. It's and what kind of relationship would it be if I'm only talking at my higher power? No. So it's called prayer and meditation. So meditation is I need to listen. So I set aside time in the morning for prayer and meditation. I ask my higher power, how can I help the man or woman who's still sick with compulsive eating today? I used to try to fit program into my life. That doesn't work. I have to work my life around program. That doesn't mean the people I love are neglected, but it does mean that I don't always do what they want. So I have to take my medicine, and that is to work my program. So if God's like, Deanna, you need to, no, your husband may want you to watch TV right now, but that's not what you need to do. So then I just need to communicate that, in a very loving way and whatnot. So, and then step 11 is throughout the day, connecting in with my higher power, asking him what I should do next. I used to get paralyzed with indecision because I'm a perfectionist and I'm a procrastinator. But I don't get paralyzed like that anymore. I just ask my higher power, what's the next right step? And then step 12, sponsoring, carrying the message like I'm doing now, going into my community, talking to people like pastors and therapists and bariatric support group centers. Who are the people that interact with possible chronic compulsive eaters? All those people and many, many, many more. It could be the hairdresser. Okay. Could be the dentist, people with bulimia, teeth erosion. So I do my work, I get freedom, but it's not free. I do have to, pay it forward. My sponsor gave of her time to help me get recovered. I need to put that forth that time for others. So I always try to make sure I'm doing plenty, going on each day. It's not that every day I have a lot going on, but I go to my higher power on this. What do I get out of this? I get freedom. I mean, I can have any food in my house. It's not a problem. It's not calling me at night. I can go anywhere. It doesn't matter what they're serving food-wise, because you know what? Food isn't my problem. Food isn't my, I thought it was. My problem is I have a spiritual illness and I need to work a spiritual program. And as long as I work that spiritual program, the food isn't an issue. It's in the background and life is in the foreground. Okay. So I used to be somebody that sat on the sidelines, would complain that people aren't doing what I want or nobody calls me. This and the other, poor me. That's not, I'm so grateful for this program. I'm very active. If I want to talk to somebody, I'm going to call them. I take action. And so I've learned that I have to keep growing. I've got to stretch my wings in this program. I've got to be willing to get uncomfortable and be inconvenienced, because guess what? How convenient was it for me when I was in my illness? Getting sick, not sleeping, being in pain because of my compulsive eating, physically, obsessing about the food. That was very stressful. So, yes, I'm going to have some Times where I need to do service, it's inconvenient, or I'm going to need to do things that are scary, like new, like God might be like, start a new meeting or go to this place to do wind up work to talk to people. But you know what? Every time I do what God tells me to do after the fact, after it, I always feel better. I always feel better. Always, always. So this program works, and it works only if I work it. It's a design for living. I'm a better wife, a better employee, I'm a better friend, a better sister, you name it, because I work this program, because I don't get away with being a jerk or being selfish, and what a gift that is. I'm looking more in life for how I can contribute than what I can get. And so that's really a beautiful thing. And I'm learning to be more honest with people. I used to be a dishonest communicator and I didn't even know that. I'm learning to be more honest, and yeah, it just feels really good. And I'm healthier now physically than I was 20 years ago. Really amazing. I'm strong. I feel good. I'm not, running away from the mirror or anything. But yeah, I do have to
Please
work this
wrap up.
program. Thank you. Yep. So I'm a grateful recovered compulsive eater, and I'll leave my information. My name is Deanna. And my phone number is 440-522-0759. That is Eastern Standard Time. And I have that's good for calls, texts, or WhatsApp, and I'd be very happy to help.
Thank you very much for a special share.